Welcome to the Exit Mindset Podcast. I'm Ram Akali. I spent years researching and studying exit strategies to improve businesses, and I'm here to help you increase profits, increase your company valuation, and get you more work-life balance. Do you ever wonder if you have the right product in your company? Do you have any doubts about it? Do you think maybe it could be better? Product is one of the biggest challenges a company have, and sometimes the most unnoticed and ignored part of the business. Lots of times companies think, well, we have a good product and it's working just fine. And they lose the drive to take that product to the next level or do something about it. And when it comes to the exit mindset, a buyer typically looks at your product, but he doesn't just look at your product from perspective of, is it a good product or a bad product? Is it selling or not selling? Lots of times the product is selling, as it happened with one of my companies, where the product was selling just fine. But from the buyer perspective, where's the future in that product? And that's the thing you ought to look at. That's the thing you ought to consider. And it's a very difficult thing to do without an exit mindset. Because from your vantage point, the product to you is something that is just working fine. Or you might have some reservations sometimes. Yeah, can I do better? Can I do this? Can I do that? But there's just no incentive for you to do it. By placing yourself in the exit mindset, you have a completely different outlook on the whole thing. So let's start by talking about that. Let's talk about the product itself. What is the product? The biggest misconception people have is that they think the product is something physical. And I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people that have service products or intangible products, and they don't think it's a product. It's bizarre. Sometimes they think the product is completely something else than what they have. And I'm telling you that if you do not define what your product is clearly and know what it is and have it in your head as a picture, you would not be able to get the maximum leverage in your company. As you know, the three pillars of an exit mindset is product, infrastructure, and the conversation. But remember, without the product, you got nothing. The most important thing, or step one, is the product. You can have all the infrastructure you want. Good luck. You have no product. You can have all the conversation with the consumer about some infrastructure you have, but there's no product. Or if your product is weak or unpalatable to the consumer, again, you got very little. Now, lots of times people confuse the differentiation between weak and a strong product. They confuse the fact that the product sells with its future potential or the future to create even a better model or a better innovation. Because what happens lots of times, you're going to find that a buyer is looking at the future. Where is this going? Also, sometimes the product is very mediocre. So when the product is mediocre, your company is going to be mediocre. And that happens a lot. All the great models, all the innovations occur because someone takes a product and turns it into something unique, different, and more palatable to the consumer. And you don't have to invent a new product. It's not about creating a brand new product. It's not about discovering the 127th element in the periodic table in chemistry. It's not about that. A lot of the products, by the way, when they're innovative, they're combinations. They're combinations and modifications and variations of various things, various types of products. For example, what is Uber? Uber is a combination of a taxi and its computer software combined together in a way that allow a consumer to call on a ride anytime they want through their phone. That's it. Software to order something exists. You can get anything on demand nowadays and combine it with private use of a car by individuals. That's where the innovation is. Now let's take another example. Let's take Uber Eats. Again, what is it? It's a combination of delivery service with an on-demand software. So really, there's no new invention here that is massive. All they did is combine it. So in your product, the question is, what do you have in there? How can you take your product and turn it to something better? By thinking that way, by using certain principles that we would outline, and some of these things will be outlined in my book, The Exit Mindset, you will see list of things you could do that would help you figure out how to improve your product. So you ask yourself, how do I do this? I mean, my product is my product. Looks good. I think what you need to do is first thing is define it. Step two, use the exit mindset. Step three, make changes. Simple three-step process. So let's talk about the first thing. Define it. Define what your product is. There are three types of products. One is a service. One is a physical product. Third is a hybrid type of product. And the tricky part about this is when you get to the hybrid. When it comes to the hybrid, the question is it the physical product that you're selling or is it some other product that you're selling? And that's where you really got to do a deep dive into what is going on in your business. So lots of times you think because you're selling a physical product or a product that has a deliverable, that this is the actual product. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a hybrid service and physical product or end product that you give at the end of that service. And the true business you're in is maybe the service business. Most people would think that Amazon is the product business, but think carefully. Are they really? First of all, let's look at their product, the product you receive at home or in your office. It's not their product in the first place. Second, let's look at the service that delivers it to you. It's not even theirs anyway, whether it's UPS or FedEx or United States Postal Service. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, if you look at their product, it's technology. It's that piece of technology that allows you to order what you want, send them feedback on it, and get information and data on everything that you're buying. So what is Amazon in the business of? Are they really in the business of selling products? Sort of, I guess. You can argue it that way. You can argue that they're a data company, which, by the way, if you knew anything about Amazon, you would know that they consider themselves to be a data company. And the second thing, if you look at, is that their model is mostly pretty much, you can look at it as a service model. The service they provide you is the ability to go through millions and millions of products in the marketplace, display them to you through search, and give you feedback from their customers in a manner that would allow you to make a decision. That's it. That's what Amazon is. Otherwise, if you think of it as Amazon is the company that sells your product or gets your product, well, the supermarket has a product for you. The supply store got products for you. All the products you're buying from Amazon are being sold somewhere most of the time. Are they in the delivery business? They might have some leg that does that, but that's not the core business. The core business is, again, the service. So the hybrid service delivery model, they figured a way to show you what you need through their software platform, then get that you want delivered to your door. So it's really a hybrid. So what is the point of this conversation? Let me be clear. You need to look at your service or product in that way too and trying to figure out, do you sell a product or a service or a hybrid? And what is the intent and what is ultimately that you're selling to the consumer? Because that would be your main product. And in my years of talking to CEOs and talking to people with companies that ask for my help, and we have this conversation and we discover that they're in the right business, but in their head, they're in the wrong business as far as their product. What they're selling is not what they thought they were selling. What they're selling is something else. And that is the biggest point you can take from this podcast. Let's talk about the second thing. Once you understand what your product is, and that requires soul searching, thinking, discussions, having discussions with your team, and really looking at your product from a completely different perspective. Once you define it, use the exit mindset to decide how you could make it better. Because now you can focus on the real product, not the side product or part of your product that is not necessarily what the consumer is looking for. That is the biggest breakthrough you can ever undertake in your company. Because once you figure that out, the rest is easy. And nothing really, really, really easy, but I would say it gets a lot easier because you focus in the right direction. The last one is make changes. Take action. If there's anything that's important in creating an exit mindset, is taking action. Once you figure out what your product is, and once you work on it and come up with the plans as to how to change it, take action. And that should be the beginning, the genesis of the transformation of your company into the next level. One of the most important things you got to look at is that where is your product going? And here where the concept of research and development is going to come into play. For a lot of people, they think, well, my company is too small to have research and development. And that is furthest from the truth. Research and development does not mean you have to have a department or a unit with 17 people or 100 people just doing research every day. Research and development could be done through curiosity. Research and development could come in by being curious, by inquiring, by thinking about what could be. So if you start the process by looking at how the product is perceived by the general public, what are they thinking about it? Where is it going to go? If it's an average product that's not going to go anywhere and you're subject to the vendor that you're dealing with, then if the vendor you're dealing with that sells you the product that you sell to somebody else has no innovation capability, you're just as stuck as they are probably, because a chain is as strong as its weakest link. Not having a product that you can innovate is where companies down spiral at some point in time. The best companies in the world are the companies that are two-step ahead of their competition with the product. They're always coming up with something new. I mean, simple case in point, you look at Facebook. They continuously innovate and innovate and innovate and come up with new things. Many other companies do the same thing, especially some of the larger Fortune 500 companies that have the infrastructure for research and development. But there have been many companies out there that are smaller and manage to innovate. In fact, I will tell you, big companies have been taken down by small companies consisting of few people just because those few people came up with innovation that the bigger company did not think about. Let's just take a simple case in point with Blockbuster and Netflix. Really, the person that created Netflix is Reed Hastings, who did this by simply taking a CD and putting an envelope with his friend and sending it out using the U.S. Postal Service. That was it. It was as simple as that. And this was not born out of a big research and development department. It was just he was fed up with going to Blockbuster. He did not want to keep going in there and finding that he has to pay late fees. Actually, his wife was getting upset at him for paying late fees. And he decided that, let me see if I could create a new model. And that one act of buying a few CDs and shipping them through U.S. Postal Service to find out if the CD would even hold, create an entire new company that took down a behemoth, one of the largest companies in the industry, Blockbuster. And they went out of business. And Netflix kept moving forward. But notice how they look at their product. They just didn't stop there. They went from CDs and they figure, well, maybe we ought to deliver the content through digital media. And from there on, they said, okay, well, maybe instead of just delivering other people's content, maybe we ought to produce our content. And the sky's the limit. They keep going. Now, can Netflix be taken down someday by somebody else that comes with a new innovation? Sure, it could happen. Maybe a couple of people in their home would come up with an idea that would take it completely down. But we don't know yet. But if Netflix keeps doing what they're doing, perhaps they're going to be there for a very long time. Now, you compare that to other companies that attempted to do the same. There are companies that sell videos in multiple ways. So let's look at your product. What in your product that you can change, innovate, create a different variation of? And if your product is very average, like a CD that has a movie on it, like Blockbuster had, what can you do with your product to make a variation of it that's a little bit different? That is what it's all about. This is where it goes. This is how you come with the real breakthroughs, by thinking. And let's not forget, thinking is the most important thing and the hardest thing in the world. People would rather move a building before they start thinking too hard. And sometimes it's difficult to think about changes and what can you do. The first answer you get from your question is, well, I don't know. So for example, if you ask yourself, what do I do with my product? How can I change it? And that first answer is, no, I don't know. Doesn't mean you can do anything. Well, if you keep asking the question over and over and over again, how can I improve the product? You're going to find at some point you can come up with an answer. If you keep examining your product, you keep looking from different angles, you talk to people, talk to your employees, you talk to your vendors, you look at the environment, be plugged in, you're going to find that there are ways that others haven't thought about. And I keep reminding you, innovations occur because people see simple things that others did not look at. And then everybody wants to do it. We know that. I bring a lot of examples through those podcasts. Simplest one, the concept of an office suite that Microsoft took. But somehow, someway, Microsoft managed to create something around it that others couldn't do. That's why you have only one Microsoft suite. You don't have that many people out there. I mean, Google surely is trying to change that. But look at the difference between Microsoft and Google. Google came out and said, we'll do this digitally. So the Google suite, the G suite, at the time when it was created, it was not delivered through a purchasable item like Microsoft. It was simply you have to subscribe. It was subscription based on Google servers. Today, probably the closest competitor to Office Suite is G Suite. It's an innovative model. The entire infrastructure of G Suite is different, even though it delivers the same product. It delivers a word processor, presentation like a PowerPoint-like presentation software. It delivers a spreadsheet like Excel. But all these things are the product that is just very basic. However, the delivery method of that product, the way it was configured, is completely different, allowing them to generate revenues and create something the market would accept and like. So then you go back to Microsoft. Well, Microsoft now trying to copy some of those elements. But again, the model is different. Everybody's got to cut their path. Everybody's got to find their own way. And I bring you these examples, not for informational purposes, but for you to model, because modeling is the most important thing. If you look at the model itself, how are these things happening? How are they getting up to those distinctions? What are the differentiation in the products? And how is that happening? And why is it that nobody else is coming in and be able to compete with some of those companies? It's not just the fact that they have the power in terms of money and resources. It's more than that. It's the innovation itself. During the internet time, there are a number of companies that had search models, and some of them were well-funded. Yet, Google, a company with two people, did what they did. So when we talk about Google, let's go back to the history on this one. Who remembers AltaVista? Maybe a few of you would. Maybe all of you don't remember, know what it is. AltaVista was the first text-based search company that became very, very popular. They were getting approximately 80 million hits a day. And that was huge by the standards back then in the early internet days. Yet, Google comes in from behind. Google trounces AltaVista to the point where nobody knows the name AltaVista. Can you imagine? Do you want to be one of those? Which one would you rather be? Would you rather be the one that's been decimated by competition, or would you rather be the one that comes in and takes over? I know which one you want to be. This is the entire point of this podcast. This is the entire point of the exit mindset. This is why I wrote the book, because I do want you to think that way. I don't want you to think average. And again, the point of this is not so much what a great story it is. The question is, how can two people then end up being 10 people, then end up being 20 people, can revolutionize the world? And simply because they created a product that others don't have. It's innovative. It's got distinction. It's got ability to scale. And it's got definitely ability to improve in a massive way. So when you look at your company, try to think, what can I do with my product? How can I change it? If a buyer comes in right now and take a look at my company, would they look at my product and say, you know, this is something really unique? Or is it something that's just average that anybody has? And all I'm doing is buying something that I can get anywhere. So, I mean, I'm going to make up a model right now. If you're in the wine business, you're selling wine bottles. I mean, unless you are selling a highly unique type of wine and you're the only vendor, that sells that wine. Most likely, you're just selling multiple types of wines out there. So what differentiates you from, say, the person that's selling it next door, the supermarket? Various outlets in there that sell variety of wine products. You know, you look at my product, go, is my product unique from an exit perspective? Is somebody coming in to buy a wine store is going to think it's worth it for from a valuation standpoint, from what I'm making it right now? And probably the answer is no, because they don't see the future in it. But what if you change the dynamics? What if you add, for example, delivery? I'm making up completely. Please don't take that as an exact model. Or what if you add to it the ability to, for them to come in and say, for example, taste, get a historic perspective on the winery, and buy it? And what if you offer them options to subscribe, continue to receive the same wine or creations in the future? Any way you think about it. And there are models like that out there, by the way, that do that. But if you want your company to sell for more what an average company like yours would, you have to be able to offer the buyer of the company something more. But however, just keep in mind, it goes hand in hand. A buyer is going to come in and see your innovative model. At the same time, your innovative model itself is creating more revenues for you and creating more distinction for you in the marketplace. So it really is a catch-22. You have to have an exit mindset to be able to create a better model, but the better model will create a better business for you. And that by itself will create more time, create more freedom, create more profits for you, and give you the higher valuation you're looking for. Action is everything. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. I'm Ram Akhali, and see you on the next episode.
You've just listened to the Exit Mindset Podcast with Ram Akhali. If you haven't yet subscribed or followed, please do so in your podcast listening app. Or better yet, visit exitmindset.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our bonus content. Lastly, we want to help as many business owners as possible. If you know anyone that could benefit from the information given in this podcast, please feel free to share it with them. Until next time.